Well, Lord, I pray that you would open the eyes of our hearts, Lord, and move us from glory to glory, from revelation to revelation. Lord, that we may see today, just every encounter with you is just so cool. Lord, it's just, you just like breathe life, call forth life into us and our new creations and our union with you. Lord, just a sense of your presence, Lord, the very smell of your presence. And I pray as we read your word, that the living word within us would take it and, Lord, just minister to our new creations. I pray in Jesus' name. I know we're in a day where most all of our music is great. We have great music now, great worship, right? Back when I came to the Lord in the mid-80s, there wasn't much out there, you know. Yeah, like Sandy Patty and, you know, Larnell Harris and just a few, wasn't much, you know, other than hymns. But the hymns, you know, some of those hymns are just so cool. I grew up in Baptist church. I had no choice to go, but just all those songs, how they get in you, you know, that you sing. And sometimes I'll wake up and it'll be like the Lord is singing a song with me. And there's one that's, 'Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus. You remember that one? Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. And Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him. How I proved you o'er and o'er. Just so cool. I went and looked up the AM and just read it again today. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for the grace to trust him more, you know. And one of them talks about that being in the rest of Jesus. So whoever wrote that song knew the Lord, you know. So I was talking to Dan Taylor the other day, and I thought, man, I wish we could kind of bring those and mix them in with what we do need, any of those songs. But it's good to see you guys. I don't know if y'all know Shelby and Donna. They were part of us for years. We used to have this dance movement. What do we call them? Streamers and banners and dancers and all kind of ers and censors. And it was just really cool. You know, very, very Jewish, because Christianity was birthed into a Jewish culture, right? And so it was very, I really miss that. We don't do that. We have our processional, which is just it's a picture. We're very physical with our, you know, God made us that way, where we see, touch, feel, you know, get to taste him, we get to touch him, we get to sense him. I miss that part. Hopefully that'll come back one day, because that was just, Anna remembers, you know, being a little kid. That was a part of, that's not what I'm going to talk about today, but just seeing you guys, it's just so good to see y'all, the sisters. My sisters in the Lord who have loved on me and prayed for me throughout this time of affliction in the wilderness. And when they say they're praying for me, I know they're praying for me. They're not just saying, oh, we'll be praying for you. You know, I know they've been praying for me. I've just been listening to some of Graham Cook's stuff. If you don't know Graham Cook, know Graham Cook. Get to know him. Graham, like the Graham Cracker, Cook with an E. A lot of his stuff has really, God's really used him to minister to me over this past season of just getting to know the nature of God. And everything is relational, you know. Everything in a Christian life is relational. Every single thing. So that's why it's so important that we grow in that part, because God is just so relational, every part of our lives. It's easy to fall into, especially in a church where there's church where we have liturgy. That word liturgy just means the worship of the people. You know, every church kind of has their liturgy. You know, we may start off, blessed be God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and blessed be His kingdom. And people say, oh, that's a religious spirit. But then at their church, they're always saying, turn to your neighbor and say this, you know. What's the same difference, right? Or turn to your neighbor and say blah, blah, blah. Or make you say a word out loud. That's liturgy. That's just part of the worship, right? Same thing. If you're ever sitting beside me, I'm not going to turn to you and say anything because I don't like that. We used to meet with a Tabernacle of Praise, an African American church, once a month on Wednesday, the first Wednesday I think of the month. They would come here, and F.L. Williams would preach, and then the next Wednesday we would all go there, and Bishop would preach, and in their culture. You know, they didn't have any problem relationally singing to each other, like in each other's loves the Jesus in you. Y'all remember that? And in your, yeah, and in your face with it. And I never did it. What I would do is I would go into like this, I'd be sitting down, I'd go into like this prayer, like I'm receiving from the Lord, you know. Boy, that was my out. That worked every single time because nobody's going to disturb you, like, right? He's having a moment with God. I'm not going to disturb him. All I was doing is getting out of having to sing to somebody. The Jesus in me loving the Jesus in you. So I know y'all probably like that. One thing I want to, this just really ministered to me. I'm going to get this out in time. So try to be a little brief here. One thing that that we're always challenged by is you're always challenged by the nature and the goodness of God, right? Like even in warfare, it's not though we're being challenged by the devil. Actually, we're being challenged by the goodness of God, right? One thing, this is grandma, I want to take credit for this, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit, or the fruit of the Spirit's greater weapon of warfare than the gifts of the Spirit, right? So we're not being challenged by, I'm just going to read some of this, we're not being challenged by the enemy or bad or wicked people, we're challenged by the goodness of God. And when someone opposes you or they don't like you, you're being challenged at that moment to give away the goodness of God, the love of God, right? That's kingdom living, people, right? Remember, these are just familiar scriptures to us. You know, Matthew 5 through 7 is all about, you know, Jesus was giving this Sermon on the Mount. It's all about what the kingdom living on earth looks like. And we're to pray, Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus came to bring the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven. Matthew, I think, is the kingdom, then it's not supposed to exist here. Then Jesus is not Lord, right? If I can't love my enemies and love my brother, right, then I'm not living as a citizen of the kingdom. This is a familiar verses. This is in Ephesians. Jesus came and preached peace to those who are far away and peace to those who are near. For through him, we have our access in one spirit to the Father. We're no longer strangers and aliens, but we're fellow citizens with the saints, and we're of God's household, having been built upon the foundation of apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the cornerstone, and in the whole building is being fit together, growing into this holy temple of God, in whom you also at the present are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. So, but you're no longer strangers and aliens. You're citizens. You're holy ones. You're citizens of the kingdom. Simple stuff, but we're going to read something really cool here in a minute. And this is out of Philippians. For our citizenship, Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the way that's written is kind of like, all right, we're citizens of heaven and we're eagerly waiting for his return, you know, in the eastern sky. And that kind of, no, it's written kind of to a now, that we're always eagerly, anxiously anticipating a new revelation of Jesus. Like Peter said, that's what became one of my verses in the 1 Peter 1:13. It talks about be on the alert, you know, keep sober mind, and said to fix your hope completely on the revelation to be brought to you by Jesus Christ in the midst of their suffering and their trial. Fix your hope completely on the revelation of God. So as citizens of this kingdom, and when you read through Matthew chapter 5 through 7, think about that. Of course, we're not going to read the whole thing. when he's talking about, you know, God, blessed are the peacemakers, they're the kingdom, they'll be called sons of God, right? These are citizens, this is citizen stuff. Blessed are those who have been persecuted for the sake of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom. Ooh, I like that other stuff a little bit better. Blessed are you when people insult you and persecute you and say and falsely say all kind of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward in heaven is great. Because in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. Now, do you see here where people are insulting, they're saying false things about you, they're speaking against you, they're persecuting you? And we would say, man, I've been battling all day, the devil. Actually, what you're doing is you're being challenged by the goodness of God. You're being given an opportunity, right, to give a blessing and to love. Because it says emails, who are these people who are just saying evil stuff and slamming me and cursing me and stuff. He said, I'll literally take them, put them on a table, and I'll bless them all. And then he said, I will put my arms up in this position because it said that I'll receive a blessing if I do that. Bless those who persecute you. Pray for those who mistreat you. You receive a blessing. So I bless them. Isn't that good? Now, do you think that the enemy will hang out in that kind of atmosphere? No. There are times when we have to do, we understand that. We have the keys of the kingdom. We bind and loose. We understand that. Right? Just read a few more. It's just so good. Not resist an evil person. You know, whoever slaps you on the right cheek, turn the other to him. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, give him your coat as well. Or they just snatch your coat. They could do that. The Roman the soldiers and citizens could take the people they had enslaved, and they could literally take their coat off of them if they wanted to. So if they do that, give them your shirt too. And if they force you to go 1 mile with them, which they could do, they had mile markers. That's okay. The Romans came up with that, the mile markers. And they would say, hey, you, carry this. Or we would say, tote this for a mile. All right. And they towed it for a mile, carry it for a mile, and they keep going. He said, wait, I told you just to take it a mile. I'm going to carry it. Let me carry it another mile. Because you see, I'm going to be really blessed for this. Instead of saying, you know, in Jesus' name, I bind you and rebuke you, devil, for doing this to me. And I say, God's goodness. I mean, all of who he is, his nature, right? And then in turn, that person, give to him who asks of you. Don't turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard it said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. What reward do you have? Even tax collectors do the same, because they'd get a little kickback. If you greet your brothers only, what more are you doing than others? Do not the Gentiles do the same? Just as your heavenly Father is merciful, so that you may be sons of your Father, so you may be sons of the kingdom of God, right? That's how you resist evil. You overcome, doesn't Scripture say you overcome evil with what? Good. So you're not being challenged by evil. You're being confronted with God's goodness. And you do, as you give it away, as sons, that's that what are the things, trying, I'm calling you, when you give away, you get more, like, you remember the pipe, as I give away, I get. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. And Paul spends much of his time speaking to believers, right, about getting along with each other. Another one, this is the, in my Bible, it has a little heading, a cure for anxiety, right? Doesn't say it, take Xanax, right? Which, that can help, don't get me wrong, or Ativan or whatever. And he said, this reason I say, you don't be worried about your life, what you got to eat, what you eat and you drink and your body, what you'll put on. Life is more than food and the body more than clothing. Check out the birds. I just added that. Look at the birds. Your Heavenly Father feeds them, and aren't you worth much more than they? And by worrying, how can you add a single hour to your life? Or worried about your clothing? Solomon, in all his glory, doesn't clothe himself like the grass of the field. Don't worry then, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear for clothing? The Gentiles seek all these things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, his righteousness, and then all these things will be added to you. You don't have to worry about tomorrow, for care for itself. So as we're in need here, or I'm in, I may not have enough to pay the bills, or I may not have the sufficiency. Once again, you know what I'm being confronted by? The goodness of God, right? Because he just wants me to believe him for more. That he'll do it. He'll take care of that. That'll put you at peace, the peace of God, right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer. Doesn't it say that? Let your requests be made known to God. And then be anxious for nothing, but everything, prayer and supplication. Then what will happen? The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I'm just going to read a few things. And we said that when you have, since we are kingdoms and citizens of the heaven, we're always being challenged to live like citizens of heaven. And if it doesn't exist in heaven, then it shouldn't be acted out on the earth. Does frustration and anger, tempers exist in heaven? No. Then it shouldn't exist here either, in the kingdom of heaven, right? So when I'm being frustrated or angered, again, what I'm really being confronted with is the goodness of God, the nature of God. Because the fruit of the spirit of patience is something that I may really need, right? Well, I've just been hit all day with frustration. I'm angry. I'm just frustrated. I'm just buying the devil. Okay. You know, you can do that. Or you can, Lord Jesus, thank you. You are my peace. You know what? You're my patience as well. You have patience. See, if that's not true, then you're not Lord. And that's kingdom living, right? And what you do, and living that way, you'll wear the devil down. Bob Jones told me one time, if y'all remember Bob Jones, the prophet Bob Jones, passed away how many years ago? About 10 years ago or so, maybe more. He's the one that gave a prophecy in Birmingham, Alabama, 1980s. I have a picture of it in my office. He didn't know anything about Alabama or our river systems or anything, but he said where the Cahaba River meets the Alabama River in that region, God is going to pour out his spirit. And if you don't know much about the geography here yet, that's not too far from here. Just a little ways up the river. A few miles up the river is where the Cahaba River runs into the Alabama River. In that region, God is going to pour out his spirit. And so somebody had a picture of that and gave it to me. And there are lilies that grow there in the Cahaba River that grow nowhere else in the world, the Cahaba lilies. You can defeat the enemy by being joyful and peaceful and wear him out by walking in the love of God. But I saved Bob Jones because there was a story. He looked at me. I saw him back in 2003, and he gave me a word. And if you know my history, I've been healed of a few things, you know, one very documented, but they know the history. I've been healed several times by things. And he looked at me and he said, the enemy's becoming very short-winded. He's been really after you, but he's becoming short-winded, or he'll become short-winded. It means he'll eventually quit and wear down. And now, 22 years later, that's a good number, 22, right? I'm learning these principles about that. Walking with my brothers, you know? It's amazing. Oh, don't get that. Warfare is not about taking authority over the devil. That's just a consequence. Real warfare is discovering the sovereignty, supremacy, and the majesty of Jesus. Being in such union with him that the enemy realizes that he can't win. Because Jesus said, he has nothing in me, right? And we're living as citizens of the kingdom, and we're walking in the Spirit, and we're walking in union with Christ. What we're learning here, that's what it means. That's just another term for it. That's living in the kingdom. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. Jesus came to teach us how to live in the kingdom, what kingdom living looks like. Then he came, and I tell people all the time, the same Jesus who lived then lives now in you to live the life that he lived in now, right? I just love that. I'm going to say it again because I need to hear it. Real warfare. Warfare is not about taking authority over the devil. That's just a consequence. And we do. God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. You have authority over him. He just lied. He just lies. Real warfare is discovering the sovereignty, supremacy, and the majesty of Jesus. Being in such union with him, where the enemy realizes that he can't win, like he did with Jesus, he departed, right, after the wilderness little experience. That's why in the body of Christ, we relate to people according to their identity and not by their behavior, right? Jesus relates to us by our identity, not by our behavior. So kingdom living, citizens of the kingdom, you know. And the one in Philippians, for our citizenship is in heaven, which we eagerly wait. Now, listen to this. Who will transform the body, the humble state of our body, into conformity with the body of his glory by the exertion of the power that he has to subject all things to himself. So we're always being conformed into his image. Paul said that the same Spirit who raised Jesus in heaven, you are being transformed into his image from glory to glory, right? Amen.